help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, and your host for Coping with Caregiving. Stay tuned, because in the next segment coming up, we're going to talk with my devoted caregiver who took care of my parents for 4.5 years. She's now my adopted daughter. I call her the amazing Ariana. Those of you who have read my book know all about her, and we're going to discuss her philosophy on managing challenging elders. She is an expert at this, and also about her new job as an activity director at a lockdown dementia care home. She's managing many patients who are combative all at once. She is truly amazing. You won't want to miss this. So call your friends and listen on to WSRadio.ws. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes with the amazing Ariana.
Want a unique and realistic look into the world of writing and publishing? Join Writers Workshop live every Wednesday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. Bringing together writers, publishers, agents, editors, booksellers, and anyone and everyone else in the book world, Writers Workshop is here to answer your questions, offer advice and support, and inspire you on your journey from your idea to the printed page to the bestseller list. Join me, Antoinette Kuritz, and my guests as they talk about their failures, frustrations, joys, and successes. What does it really mean when an agent tells you he loves your writing, but this manuscript doesn't meet current needs? Why should you go into every bookstore you pass and autograph every copy of your book? What's the difference between a novel that's plot-driven or character-driven, and does every book need an agent? What's the difference between genres, and how do you stay out of the slush pile? How do you get published? The answers to these and countless other questions, some of them yours, will be answered on Writers Workshop, the first interactive internet radio show for and about writers. Join us to discuss the art, craft, and business of writing.
Hello, I'm Lee Mirabal, Director of Programming and Sales here at WS Radio. I want to thank you for listening and fill you in on a few important facts. We've just reached our 1 millionth listener and now broadcast 37 unique shows. If you have an idea for a show, we'd like to hear from you. Our weekly lineup is booked, but we do have nights and weekends available. Click the Host Wanted banner on the WS Radio homepage for more information. If you want to increase sales of a product or service, there are some powerful reasons to consider advertising with WS Radio. First, unlike traditional radio, our audiences are highly targeted, online, and ready to order, and we guarantee the number of listeners that will hear your commercial. Bottom line, advertising on WS Radio works. For a limited time, there are some very attractive, low-cost offers for first-time advertisers. Find out more by clicking on the Advertise link on the top of our homepage. Again, we thank you for listening to WS Radio.
Are you sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WSRadio.ws. The worldwide leader in internet talk.
We're back. This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage and your host for Coping with Caregiving. And now we're going to be talking to my adopted daughter, Ariana. She is the caregiver who took care of my parents continuously for 4.5 years. I call her the amazing Ariana. I had been through 40 caregivers. 40. Cried rivers. I had struggled through an unsympathetic medical system before I found her. My father was so mean to everyone, I couldn't get anyone to stay and put up with him. Once, he even threw all of her clothes out the window into the neighbor's yard. He hit her, he kicked her, he spit at her, he called her every nasty name you can imagine. But Ariana stuck with me through it thick and thin. And together, we turned around my 85-year-old father, even with the onset of dementia, and we got him to behave most of the time. And that's why I wrote my book. We saw such a difficult situation. I just had to let others know how we did it. But we've been through a rough time. We've just lost my parents, and Ariana stuck with me through the whole thing, all the heartache, and was there every step of the way for me. And now she's got a new job. She's the activities director of a lockdown dementia care home. She's managing, I think it's 38 Alzheimer's patients now. Many are combative, but she's already made this huge difference. Hi, honey.
Hello, Jacqueline.
Hey. So let's talk about what you think the most important qualities are that a caregiver has to have to manage a challenging elder.
Well, I think that you have to be very compassionate, for one, and you have to really understand what they're going through. I think those are the number one things you need to know.
How did you hold on to that when my dad was being so horrible to you? Where did you pull that out of?
Well, Jacqueline, I really don't know.
She has inner strength.
Yeah, I just wanted to help him. I knew that it wasn't coming from his heart. It was, you know, it was just something that was happening at the time. He didn't mean anything of, you know, anything that he did, you know, most of the stuff. He wasn't all there, of course. So I just try to work with him and try to help him in any way that I can.
Yeah, you did. She just did an incredible job. And we need to, we would always laugh because Ariana and I would talk on the phone twice a day minimum, sometimes 10 times a day when we were going through all this stuff. And I was there for a whole year for this, and then I let her take over. But what we would say almost every day was, demented doesn't mean stupid, does it?
Right. Never.
He could get so crafty. Remember when he switched mom and dad's plates? Tell that about the when you try to have mom eat, she wouldn't eat, but dad...
Yeah, we had to sit them next to each other, of course. They always wanted to be together, and I thought that Mabel was eating all her food until one day I realized that Jack was switching the plates.
Right.
So...
he just, whoop, and all of a sudden, and did you want something more to eat? No? Okay.
Well, he wanted to get back to bed faster, so he would just say that she finished all her food and she was full.
Yeah, he wanted mom's food. And so now, talk about how you used your body language and your, you know, with mom and dad, how you used your voice and the calmness that you presented to get them to do what you wanted them to do.
Yeah, I never yelled at them. I talked to them in a calmly way, very calm, very compassionate, a lot of touching, putting hands on shoulders, direct eyes with each other, but yet stern to let them know that I wasn't going to let them push me over, and let them know that I was only there to help them, not to demand anything from them, just so that they can stay at home and be where they belong instead of in the system. That's basically what I did.
Yeah, your voice, I think, was such a... the way you used your voice was very, very important because you always were very, talked very direct.
Right.
And short sentences. You didn't use a lot of long words that were complicated for them to understand. Very direct orders. And then you always gave a reward when they did something good, like when we couldn't get Dad in the shower.
Right.
And you'd give him extra dessert when he got out.
Right.
You know, anything that you could do to reward. And then when he was being nasty, what would you do? What would you do if he was screaming and yelling at you?
Of course, we'd take dessert away.
That was the biggest one, wasn't it?
His favorite dessert we'd take away. And then he seemed to understand that if he was on bad behavior, he wasn't going to have his way. I wasn't going to give him dessert, and so therefore he would take a couple days, but he would go ahead and change.
Remember the time he threw all the canned goods in the living room and told you, pick them up, you work for me?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. He threw everything everywhere and demanded that I was his slave and that I was going to do as he told me. But then we changed things around after a couple times of doing that. We let Jack pick them up.
Right.
And then he didn't do it anymore.
Right.
And it ended up being a better thing for me to help him pick them up rather than me doing it when he wanted me to.
Yeah.
It was all control, I think.
Yeah, it's just control. We understood that it was his need to control. So what was so great about what you did was you tried to give Dad, you know, ways to where he could control some things. So you'd give him choices like, what do you want to wear?
Right.
And what else would you do? Like,
remember we got him out of those overalls?
Oh, my gosh. Mom was so happy about that. He wore those coveralls for 50-some years.
Yeah.
And we finally got him. How you got him to wear real clothes? I couldn't do that. How did you get him to do that?
We told him that Mom was going to go to daycare without him. And the only way that he'd be able to go with her is if he changed his clothes and dressed normally. So then it took a little while, and he decided to go with the flow, and then all of a sudden he was just wearing regular clothes and hasn't asked for his overalls ever since.
And you burned them.
And we got rid of them, yeah. No more coveralls. But we did decorate them for Christmas.
Halloween.
For Halloween. So he got to wear them once again, and he was very happy about that.
Yeah, tell how you dressed Mom and Dad up for daycare for Halloween. That was so cute.
Yeah, they were twin clowns. We made it like an art project. We painted everything for them. We put some striped socks on them. We fixed their face. They actually went first place at the daycare. It was actually very nice.
They had fun. They loved that. Oh, gosh. And so now how's your new job working out?
Well, now I'm an activity director for a, the capacity there is 38-bed units. And I actually love my job. I'm still learning every day new things with the people that I work with. There's so many different kind of dementias that I've never even known, and it's just been so awesome. I've met great people there. They love me. I love them. We play ball together. We play bingo. Of course, that's the all-time favorite.
Right.
We do exercise. We do a little bit of physical therapy and plenty of mind games.
What do you do for the mind games? How does to keep their minds sharp? What kind of things?
Well, every other day at least we talk about their family, of course, because it's, you know, their family. It's very hurtful for their family when they go in there and they don't know who they are or what their name is. So I try to talk about their family quite often, how many children they have, grandchildren, their names, how old they are.
How do you keep them all straight? My gosh, with mom and dad, you had two. Now you've got 38.
Oh. Well, I've got cue cards. I keep track with cue cards, and I also meet the loved ones who come in to see their family members.
Yes.
And we keep in touch quite a bit, and we do a lot of outdoor activities, which is very nice. We do bowling outside.
And they had never done any outside activities till you got there, you told me.
No, not like this. We're eventually going to start gardening. We are doing just a lot of things with them. We're changing everything there. We're having just a great time there. I'm getting ideas of what their last request is. Like some people would like to go to Alcatraz Island for a day.
Oh.
A lot of people like to go bowling. Some people would like to go to Yosemite. We started doing drives twice a week, Sundays and Wednesdays.
Oh.
Where they would like to go. They love animals, so we tend to go up to the horse stables. We have a llama farm close by. We go to see the cows, and they really, really enjoy that.
Oh, how wonderful, honey.
Yes.
And what isn't, don't you think animals, children, and interaction with them is really brings them out?
A whole different world. I actually have somebody there that was a little bit combative, kind of quiet, didn't want anybody to come around him. And I actually brought my daughter in the other day, actually Friday.
Uh-huh.
And,
the baby, yeah?
My 13-year-old.
Oh, okay.
My 10-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And she went in and she played ball with him. This guy woke up. He loved my daughter. Everybody was just woke up that day. She spent the whole day there. We played bingo. They were laughing. They actually had to shut the double doors because we were loud.
Aww.
And that was just amazing. They loved her to death, and they want her to come back. So I think children need, you know, I think they just love children so much. And I think if you have children, you have a person like this, a family member or friend, you need to bring children in, or an animal,
yeah,
whatever they like. A lot of these people have children and great-grandchildren that don't come in, and for them, my daughter replaces that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And singing. Tell about the guy you got dance. Nobody could deal with this man, and Ariana has him up dancing.
Right. He's a very, he's one of my all-time favorites there. He's an awesome guy. He loved to dance, so I put some country music on, and we ended up dancing. So now twice a week we have country line dancing.
Oh, how neat!
Which we all do together, and we do the swing, and actually somebody taught me the foxtrot.
Really?
So, yeah, it's really amazing. Once you open a door for them, they remember quite a bit of things. I really didn't know that somebody would say, let me teach you the foxtrot at 80-some-odd years old. And actually got up and showed me how to do that.
So they're teaching you new things.
So they're teaching me new things. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm willing to learn, you know. I feel like I'm teaching school there. I'm trying to get curriculum, and we do a little bit of math every day. We do some, you know, adding and subtraction.
Uh-huh.
We talk about the day. We talk about the weather. We do current affairs, what's going on in the news. So they can kind of get updated on what's going on outside that building.
That's what I loved about when Mom and Dad were at the daycare, and
mm-hmm,
they'd come home and I'd call in the evening and they'd tell me about something going on in the news. It was just wonderful that they did the current events with them. So that's
right.
Great you're doing that.
We have an ice cream social there once a week where we sit down and we have ice cream, but now I'm changing that around. We're actually going to make the ice cream once a week.
Ooh, when's that? I'll be there.
Yeah, so I'm just changing little things around, and I really love to see the smile on their face. It's just been amazing. We're also fitting in the calendar family functions. We don't have too many family days. I'm trying to fit in a once-a-month family outing every single month. So we're actually going to the Oakland Zoo coming up.
How great.
And a lot of families coming. So that's really, really nice. They were so glad that they were invited to come.
And tell how you start what you call their rooms.
They're apartments.
You call them apartments.
Yeah, we call them apartments, and we say they have roommates. And it makes them feel like they're in some kind of control, that, you know, they're going to an apartment, not to their room, or they're not getting scolded in any way. They can come and go as they please. So it's really nice.
That's wonderful. Now, what advice can you give to people listening of the biggest problem that a family would face if they're going to hire a caregiver? Because you know how many I went through before I found you. You were like one in a million.
I would have to say be very, very careful. I think you really need to do a double screen on the person.
Mm-hmm.
I think you really need to check out their references.
Yes.
If you can, if possible, if the person's still alive, talk to the other person that worked, you know, even if it's the client. Talk to the other client if, you know, their Alzheimer's not too bad, and find out what they thought of them.
Right.
There has to be a reason why they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really think that you guys need to really check it out.
Yeah.
And stop in and check in on your loved one anytime you want to. And just, you know, you can see them going downhill if, you know, the person taking care of them is not doing the right thing by them.
Yes. And tell everybody how we have the baby monitor so you could watch what mom and dad were doing in their room from your room.
Yeah, there's a baby monitor you can actually get at Toys R Us, about $100, and it's awesome. You have a little TV and you have a little monitor that's very small that you can fit in the other room or whatever room you'd like to have it. And you can keep an eye on them and watch what they're doing at all times, especially if you have a combated loved one.
Like Dad.
Like Dad. And, you know, you just kind of keep your eye on them. And another thing is privacy. They really like their privacy. At least Jake did. Jake really liked his privacy. And for them, it made them feel like I wasn't really there.
Yeah, not in his face all the time. And then everybody, one time she called, you know, every night we talk on the phone. And remember the time you called me and you had dozed off and you woke up and in the monitor it was Dad's face, like, really big. You thought he was finding the bug.
Right. He was looking for something he had hidden. I think it was a snack.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, his face is right in the monitor, and it's an awesome monitor. I recommend anybody to do that because I think a lot of the combativeness comes out of us trying to take care of them when all their life they took care of us.
Yes.
So it's very
Good
difficult.
Point.
It's very difficult for them to get the concept that we're here for them now.
And, you know, she had a little peephole in the door so she could watch him when they were in the living room so she wouldn't have to be, like, out there every minute. And that was your idea, to put a little peephole in the door.
Right.
And, gosh, the things we came up with, wasn't it something?
Right.
We really did.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I can't tell you, stress enough, there's a pad that's out I just learned about that you put on the chair. If you have a loved one that's capable of falling or gets up when you're,
it goes off. It alarms.
Your back turned. As soon as the person stands up, this alarm goes off. I just learned this at the new job that I have. And I wish I even thought of that.
With mom and dad.
With mom especially.
Oh, shoot. We're out of time.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, Ariana.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Jacqueline.
Okay. Talk to you soon, honey.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks. I'm Jacqueline Marcel. I'm the author of Elder Rage, inviting you to check out the hundreds of valuable resources I have for you on ElderRage.com. And remember to join us here every Saturday for Coping with Caregiving from 3 to 5. That's Pacific time. Tell your friends. And don't forget that you can listen online to this program by the following Tuesday of every week when the show is archived.
Help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
The Fly Mike Company has designed and manufactured sportswear clothing since the early days of paragliding and hang gliding. A German firm, the Fly Mike, got its start in innovation from hands-on paragliding pilot Mike Lieberman. Cold alpine winter flying demanded a functional and affordable flight suit. Today, the Fly Mike Flight Suit Company is one of the major suppliers to worldwide paragliding and hang gliding pilots seeking affordable and value-oriented flight suits, jackets, and sports apparel. For warmth, comfort, and protection, make your next flight with Fly Mike.